Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's just too kind of you. Very warm welcome. I need it. You can tell I've been staying with Michael because I'm preaching in a vest. I never preach in a vest back home. So it is so good to be with you. An absolute joy of mine, a complete honor. Just before I go too far, I just want to do a couple things. The first thing that I want to do this morning is say thank you. I just want to say thank you to your church community for who you are, the way you are pursuing Jesus in the Twin Ports area, and the gift that you are not just to this part of the country, but to the country outside of here where it's warmer, where the Vineyard movement as a whole, you are committed to the generosity of God and the power of his presence. And the Vineyard movement benefits from that generosity as you share your leaders throughout the year, as you lead the way, as you reach for the fullness of God here on earth. You are a gift to not just this area, but so many beyond. So as a Vineyard pastor, I just want to say thank you. On behalf of other Vineyard pastors who haven't been able to come to this incredible place yet, thank you for them as well. So just continue pressing on, continue going for it, continue being a gift to so many. Additionally, before we jump into the teaching time, I just want to give you a little glimpse into who I am. I appreciated Michael as he introduced me, but I want you to have a little glimpse at who's sharing with you today. You can see my beautiful family. They wish they could be here. They've been missing me. I've been missing them. This has been a family ministry time this week. As they've been home, I've been here. They've been thinking about you. But I'll just let you know this. I've been following Jesus for 25 years. And I know some of you are thinking, like, did you give your life to Jesus, like, at the hospital, like, when you were born? No. It was a little bit after that. It took me about 5 years of living. And then within 5 years, I knew I needed a Savior. It didn't take me long to realize my need for Jesus. And so I have been following Jesus for 25 years. I'm so thankful for that. I've grew up in the Vineyard movement. I grew up in a family that pursued Jesus. My dad is a pastor. When I was in middle school, we planted a Vineyard church. That was an incredible experience. I was a college athlete. No, not golf. No, not baseball. I know some of you were thinking baseball. I played basketball at the University of Texas San Antonio for 4 years, had a wonderful time. I loved it. It was during that time that my wife and I got married. Lauren, we have been married for 8.5 years. You see her beautiful picture on the screen. I'm so blessed and thankful for the gift that she is in my life. We've known each other since we were 4, so that's kind of fun. We have 2 children. Our son Canton is 4 years old, and our daughter Emerson is 2. And I know I'm biased, but they are just beautiful. They are beautiful. They are fun. We are loving life right now. And not to discourage you, but the picture of Emerson was taken on Monday. It was 65 degrees and sunny in Pearland, Texas, a suburb just south of Houston. And so I've been in Pearland for 7 years, serving as the associate pastor there. I love it. I love what God is doing. I'm hopeful for just more of his coming kingdom. 2.5 years ago, I completed my master's, and I do some private practice work as well. And so I'm just wanting to say yes to what God is doing. And I believe that he's calling me forward to say yes to things, and I come here believing the same for you. And there is no better yes we can say in our life than saying yes to his invitation. And so no matter what season you are in, no matter what season you are in right now, my hope is that this morning that we will all get the opportunity to say yes again to hope, to faith, to life, and maybe to a fresh perspective. You know, I don't know about you, but every now and again, I just need a fresh perspective. I need to be reminded and renewed in my outlook on life. And it is my hope that as we journey together and we look at God's word, that maybe for all of us, we will be able to say yes to a fresh perspective. We'll be looking at Philippians 4, a part of Philippians 4. And I just want to invite you, just be open to embracing maybe something new or something that just is a remembering of ways that you used to think, you used to live, you used to say yes to Jesus. But maybe for the first time, maybe some of you will be experiencing for the first time a true, fresh, and new perspective about how you can live your life. So what I'd love to do is just to pray and welcome the Holy Spirit for this time, that it would be meaningful, that there would be clarity and communication and receiving what God wants to say, and then we're going to read his word. So just join me in a word of prayer this morning. So God, we just say thank you for who you are. We just welcome your Holy Spirit in this place. We just ask that you would fill this teaching time. And that as we read your word and we press in, that you would speak to us. That you would meet us. And you would move us in the direction of life abundantly. So we just say thank you for being here. It's in your powerful name that we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to read to you a passage of scripture out of Philippians 4. It's verses 4 through 9, and you can read along with me. And I'll just tell you, this is one of my favorite passages. This has been a passage that almost like at just critical times in my life, I have just come back to this and just sensed God's encouragement and God challenging me and moving me forward in major life decisions, in moments of distress, in moments of hope, that this has been a verse I've come back to regularly. And so let me read it to you now, starting in verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Can we read that last sentence together? 1, 2, 3. Then the God of peace will be with you. You know, there is a lot of hope and opportunity for you and for me if we can live a life when the God of peace will be with us. So as we move forward, one of the things I know about words is sometimes I can think I know the definition and I'm on the same page with the people I'm talking to, but maybe our experience with a word or whatever it is just different and we have a little bit of a different perspective on it. So let's just check out the definition of the word perspective, because this will be important for our time today. Perspective is defined as a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something. It's a point of view, a point of view. So I brought my trusty beach ball here. This is just to remind you that summer will return. There is hope. So just thinking about point of view, what color do you see from your point of view right now? Red. Red and white, yes. Well, I see a warning. Use only under competent supervision because this might kill you. You might die from this beach ball. You know, what's interesting is depending on what our point of view is, sometimes we have to be open to an alternate point of view that is real, that can shift our perspective, and in this case, can save you. Sometimes we have to be open to a different point of view and a different perspective. And that's my hope today as we press in to Philippians 4. And here's the first fill in the blank. I think that we need a fresh perspective personally. Personally. Scripture says, always be full of joy in the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but as I've journeyed through life, I'm realizing more and more that I have a lot of influence on how I see things. My point of view is often shaped by my choices, by my outlook. Like right now, you are in my point of view. But if I choose, I can begin to shift it, and I can take in a completely different view. Like right now, I am most likely in your point of view, and for some of you, that's unfortunate, because you have to look at me, but I get to look at you. Y'all are my point of view, and this is beautiful. You know, it really is up to me. My point of view is one thing I control day in and day out, how I see things. You know, in all the work I've been doing since pastoring and studying for my master's and being in clinical work and doing private practice, you know, it's amazing to me how much breakthrough comes when one person is willing to just shift their personal perspective. They just begin to open up their life to, maybe I can try something different. Maybe I can choose another way. But so often it starts with me. My life often starts with me. So let me just ask a show of hands. How many of you would be okay to experience more joy in your life? Yeah, perfect. So we all believe this passage of scripture. This is great. Well, I don't know about you, but this is not the challenge. More joy is not the challenge. You know what the challenge is? Always. Always. No matter what the circumstance. You know, I can experience a lot of joy when life is easy street, when everything is going my way. But joy becomes more challenging when things are not going the way I want them to. When I'm experiencing pain and loss and disappointment and hurt. We would all love more joy. The question is, can we press in to always? To always. You know, here's a fresh perspective for you on joy. Have you ever heard the kind of the question, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of person? Well, that's something I've thought a lot about and I've heard before, but here's the perspective we actually need. My glass is not half full. My glass is not half empty. My glass is filled by the living God, and he can be trusted. The living God can give me what I need. So I need to be full of joy in the Lord. In the Lord. You know, one of the things that follows this is it says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You know, so often one of the things that comes at my joy is when I begin to worry about things. I begin to feel anxious inside and I have anxiety about the outcome and is this going to go the way that I want it to go? You know, I don't know if you can relate to that or not. But what's interesting about worry is often shaped by what we are dwelling on. What am I dwelling on in my thought life? That's personal. What am I dwelling on with my emotions? That's very personal. And what we have to begin to see is that we have to kind of push against external circumstances and be aware of our internal choices. You know, there's a lot of research about anxiety these days. You know, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States. And yet we read scripture that says, do not worry about anything. Anxiety affects 40 million people a year. And that's just the ones who had the guts to tell somebody about it. You know, I wasn't counted in that 40 million, but I can worry with the best of them. You know, I've got little kids. Like they start jumping off the couch and I'm just like, don't break anything. Don't hurt yourself. You know, I can worry about money. I can worry about my life and my future. You know, what's interesting about this personal perspective is we have to begin to push through some of these things. And one of the things I want to be really clear about is this. Anxiety is real. Anxiety is real. And this is not simply just if you just believe better, then you'll never have anxiety again. Because I feel like I have a lot of faith. I feel like I have a lot of belief in God and the work of Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But yet I still worry. I can still worry. So it just reminds me that I just need to regularly come back and just be honest about my own life and what am I choosing to dwell on? What am I dwelling on day in and day out? So here's some things that I see about practical application steps to this. The first thing we have to be willing to do is have incredible courage and take responsibility for what we can control. What we can control. Things like this. I can control my attitude. I am in full control of my attitude. You do not control my attitude. That is not yours for choosing. That is mine. Every day, I can choose the attitude that I will have about that day. I can choose what I focus on. You know, just earlier, am I going to focus on this? Am I going to focus on that? Or am I going to focus on here? Like, where am I directing the focus of my life? Will I focus my life on being in the Lord today? Being full of joy in the Lord? How about prayer? He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Am I taking an active stance of praying to God for what I need? Am I saying out loud what it is that I'm dwelling on and thinking about and need? Worship. You know, the thing I love about worship is that it often takes the focus off myself and begins to open me up to someone so much bigger and more powerful than me. It shifts my personal focus. So if we're going to embrace joy, these are a few things I think we should be doing. Don't worry, but pray. Pray. Just press into prayer. Does it mean the worry will leave like that? Not necessarily. But it gives you a tool to not just be stuck in your worry. You can act. Activate and you can take action and you can pray. The other thing I think is we need to tell the truth. I think we need to be honest about what we need. I just think we need to be honest with God. Just practice greater honesty with God. Like, be specific. I need a job in 1 week because I am worried about my money. Can you meet me in my place of need? And then we just come back and we come back. But be honest. Tell the truth to God. Tell him what you need. And here's my favorite one. In our personal perspective, when things come at us like anxiety and worry and fear and uncertainty, we need to counter with thankfulness. With thankfulness. You know, thankfulness is incredibly powerful. It says, thank God for all he has done. And I just watched thankfulness just break through in powerful ways because it begins to cultivate a heart of gratitude, which is focusing on what I have versus what I lack. When I focus on what I lack, guess what? I feel like I'm lacking. It's really weird how that works. But when I focus on what I have, it moves me towards being more aware of God's goodness and provision in my life, and I can be thankful for what he has done. Ways to practice thankfulness are to actually write thank you notes to people, to coworkers, to friends, to family. You know, thank you for calling me last week. Thank you for saying hi to me. Thank you for listening when I was going through a tough time. You know, if you want to focus on what you have, you can share what you have with other people. You can give gifts of attention and gifts of time and take somebody to lunch, buy somebody a coffee when it's 20 degrees and snowing. It's an amazing gift. Out of what God has given you, share with someone else. And then I would just say, practice this daily. You know, if you have the privilege of eating a meal with somebody during the day, during the meal, just say, you know what I'm really thankful for? I'm thankful that I'm breathing today. I'm thankful that I've made it this far. I'm thankful to be eating a meal today. Just anything. I mean, everything counts when you're showing gratitude. And you know what's really neat about that is then you can ask them. You say, what are you thankful for? Do you have anything in your life to be thankful for? It's a great way to bring the goodness of God into a conversation and into our personal perspective. So let's just try to reach for this every day, because it's not just to be joy sometimes, on occasion when we feel like it. Always be full of joy in the Lord. You know, I think that my life starts with me, but I don't ever believe that I was supposed to do life on my own. And I don't think you are either. So I don't think we just simply need a fresh perspective personally, but I believe we need a fresh perspective relationally. And that's your second fill in the blank on your notes. A fresh perspective relationally. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. You know, for me, my need for a Savior is the starting point that moves me into relationship and realizing I need more than I can offer myself. You know, the invitation that all of us have from Jesus to walk in relationship with the living God reminds us we were never intended to do life on our own. So as we move forward, we always want to be reaching for a freshness in our relationships, how we view people, how we view our spouse, how we view our family members, our extended family, how we view strangers. Sometimes we need a fresh perspective about the stranger in our life. It says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. So you want a fresh perspective relationally? Here are two words that will give you a fresh perspective. Everyone and all. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Is that setting the bar pretty high? And that is a fresh perspective of heavenly scale. So let's just bring heaven to earth, and in every interaction with people, let's show them consideration. Let's be considerate in all that we do. So how do we do that? How can we be considerate to everyone in all that we do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because as we keep reading, it says this, then you will experience God's peace, this is verse 7, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If we want to be considerate to everyone in all that we do, the first thing we have to do is live in Christ Jesus. Apart from Christ Jesus, I will not be considerate in all that I do. But connected to Jesus, the one who came and gave his life for all, that all might live, he gives me a model and a hope and a source for treating every person the way Jesus would treat them. So we need to live in Christ Jesus. You know, for some of you, maybe relationships have been a really hard place and you've never given your life and your relationships to Jesus. That's a great place to start with a fresh perspective. Invite Jesus into your relationships. And then it says this, fix your thoughts. In all of our relationships, we need to begin to fix our thoughts on what is right and what is true, what is admirable, what is excellent, and what is worthy of praise. Because as we begin to see people as admirable and honorable and worthy of praise, guess what? We'll begin to be more considerate to them. We'll begin to see them the way Jesus sees them, those worthy of love, those that we freely give love to in relationship. So think about some of the relationships in your life. You know, I'm married. Maybe some of you here are married. That's a pretty significant relationship. You know, I'll just tell you this. What you think about your spouse matters. What you think about your spouse matters. What I think about my wife, Lauren, matters to how connected we are in relationship. If I think she was mean to me and I think she's disregarding me and I think that she doesn't really care about me the way she used to and she doesn't, you know, pay me enough attention and I just begin to think and dwell on that, that will just begin to just pull me away from her. But if I just in my thought life and in my heart life, I just go, she is the best wife in the entire world. She is the best wife in the entire world. She is honorable and admirable. She is excellent and she is worthy of praise. Guess what that does to me and her? It just brings me closer and closer and closer. What we think about our spouses matters. So let's fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely. You know, one of the things I see here is that this is the place I'm encouraged to take responsibility for my vows. You know, I said, I do. I will love you. I will cherish you. I will be with you through thick and thin, through the best and the worst. I will do that. So I need to step up to the relationship and do my part. You know, there's some research by a very well-known researcher by the name of John Gottman. He's studied couples in and out. And so I think this is a really good talking point for any of you who are married to just kind of talk about how can you live into this. And the other thought that I had this week is maybe some of you know someone who is married, maybe a coworker or a neighbor or a friend, and this might be a good way just to reach out to them this week as you're at work or going on break or whatever it is to just say, hey, you know what? I heard this week. What do you think about this? And it would just spark a conversation about your journey to church. But this is what John Gottman found. He said, the couples who experience success, so successful couples, regularly practice kindness and generosity in their marriage. Kindness and generosity. How can we live into that? How can we show our spouses more kindness? How can we be more generous with our love and our life and our thoughts? But I'll tell you, if it works for couples, man, those are great things for any relationship, right? Not everyone's married, not everybody's there, but I think we all know friends. I think hopefully we all have friends. Maybe we all have neighbors. And if we don't have either of those things, then we for sure have strangers in our life. And so think about this as we have a fresh perspective relationally with our neighbors and our strangers and our friends and our family. Let everyone see that you are considerate. In an article at a Relevant magazine, they gave these tips for building good relationships. So here's some feet to the ground practical stuff for you. One, find common ground. Into this room, I'm a stranger. If I got to talk with you, I think pretty quickly we could find common ground. We're both human. It's a great place to start. There's one. That's a go-to for you. You know, if you aren't sure, like, there's no common ground, it's like, human, great, let's go from there. You know, I've heard it said that about 80% of my life I can find in common with somebody else. We share about 80% of our lives in common. We eat, we breathe, we have connections, we have passions, we have pursuits. Just run with those things. The other thing is to be authentic. Just be who God made you to be. You are the greatest gift that you have to share with other people. No one else can do it. No one else can be you. So be authentic and share that gift the way God made you to be. He's calling you to be a very, very beautiful reflection of his image. So be that in relationships. Focus on what you can offer. We all have things to give and offer. Focus on that. Here's a big one. Practice forgiveness. Be the one who's willing to step out and say, I'll lead the way for forgiveness when things didn't go right. Because guess what? Things won't always go right. Forgiveness is so important. Another one is this. Serve together. You know, the Duluth Vineyard is a great place to serve alongside one another. Get plugged in on a serving team. Maybe that you've never done that. This would be a great place to reach out in relationships, join some other people, and have a common goal. And as you have a common goal, get to know one another. Build relationship as you serve together. Join a serve team this year. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Just step out in that and practice hospitality. When people welcome me into their home, man, that is a huge gift. That is a wonderful relationship builder. Share a meal, share a coffee, share a beverage, just conversation, and welcome people into your life. Practice hospitality. You know, the best way I can summarize this is find the best in other people. Be committed to living your life as one who will find the best in others. Focus on what is admirable and what is worthy of praise. And just think about how that would fill our lives. If everywhere we went, we were looking for what is worthy of praise. I know that would make my life so much better and it will impact my relationships. Here's the last fill in the blank on your notes. In order for this to happen, in order for my personal perspective and my relational perspective to reach for these things, we have to have a fresh perspective eternally. Eternally. Says this, remember the Lord is coming soon. You know, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said that we should pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we need to be reaching for an eternal perspective every single day here on earth. That we need to set our point of view on God and his love and his grace and his mercy and his work for today. You know, we don't just believe that that's some deferred experience, but that we believe God is breaking in into the here and now with his power and his kingdom come. We must live today with a growing glimpse of eternity. That it would shape our personal life. It would shape our relationships. It would shape our hope and our purpose for every single day. You know, verse 5 says, remember the Lord is coming soon. And then verse 9 says this, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Think about how near God is when you experience peace. The God of peace will come and calm storms in your life, will walk with you and journey through you the difficult seasons and the tough things, the disappointments, the loss, the heartache. But that the God of peace will be with you. But there's so much action to this. There's so much moving into this eternal perspective. It says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You know, I just know for me in my own life, the last couple months, I have needed a God of peace. And maybe you're in a similar place today. Maybe life does not feel very peaceful or peace-filled. Wouldn't that be just a wonderful shift in our perspective to embrace the eternal God coming near with his peace and presence? You know, if you just know what you know about your own life, if you are here today and you just need peace, in just a moment, we're gonna transition to an opportunity to respond to God's life and God's power. And I just think for some of you, this might be just a really important thing. And if you've never begun a relationship with God, this is a great place to say, God, you know what? I've never tried you before. I've never tried giving you my life. But if this scripture is true, would you come and meet me? And would you begin to bring your peace to my life? You know, having an eternal perspective will allow us to live more peaceful and peace-filled lives. And then imagine the impact that will have on your relationships as you go and you extend the kingdom of God to this city and the surrounding counties. Think about the impact that that'll have on your daily experience, your thought life, your emotions, your hopes, and your dreams to be living more full of peace. You know, I think we need to anchor ourselves with an eternal perspective every day. You know why? Because it'll help keep things in perspective. Our eternal perspective helps us keep things in perspective. Allow yourself to be anchored with a present God of peace. A present God of peace. Allow the peace of God to guard your heart and your mind. See, it's personal, it's eternal, it's relational, it's all of these things, that the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. So how do we do this? How do we embrace an eternal perspective? How do we do that? You know, earlier I gave the tip to pray. I think prayer is an incredibly important way to just embrace a daily perspective, setting our sights on eternity. Tell God what you need, but carve out time to listen. You know, worship music, I said earlier, you know, worship moves me from this, focusing just on me, to being reminded of something bigger, something that just is worth giving my whole life to. You can read scripture. You know, I've got an app on my phone that has a 365-day devotional. Reminds me every day, and I just get a taste of God's word every day with an encouragement. Read the Bible. It's active. It's alive. It's for our good. I think we need to spend time dedicated to the God of peace. So here's a thought. I don't know about your life. I'm trying to utilize a calendar in my kind of daily rhythms. It helps me know when I have meetings, when I have work, when I have date night, when I'm hanging out with my kids. Like, just kind of lets me schedule things on my calendar. If you're like that, I'm just curious, how many of you schedule time for peace into your life? That was like foreign to me the first time somebody asked me that question. But think about it. What if you just carved out 30 minutes to just breathe? Like, I'm going to dedicate time to peace and to the God of peace. Not for anything else, but so that instead of our calendar just filling up and we're just so busy we don't know what to do with our lives, that we just say, nope, not this 30 minutes. This 30 minutes is about setting my eternal perspective on the God of peace and breathing. You know, I think it's good to spend time with others focusing on God's presence. You know, I know right now small groups are getting ready to launch. Small groups is an incredible place to have an eternal perspective and to have relationships and to grow personally. I would encourage anyone who's never tried a small group before to give it a shot. They are wonderful. And you can learn about them in the lobby after the service today. Go for it. Just commit to carving out time in your week for an eternal perspective, because it's more than just Sunday. You can have an eternal perspective on Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can have an eternal perspective on Thursdays or on Saturdays. You can have an eternal perspective every day so that the God of peace will be near you and with you. You know, I remember a story in my own life where this really began to happen as I was in college. And at that time in my life, I did not like Christian radio. Remember, I'd grown up in the church, followed Jesus for a long time. I did not like Christian radio. And I would listen to all sorts of other good music. There's lots of good music. I think music is incredible. But I was just at this season where I just felt like God said, just like, will you tune in to me? Will you tune into me? And so when I was in my car, I only would have it on the Christian radio station. And I did not like it. I did not like it. And the first day that I listened to it, I didn't like it. I didn't think it was for me. I thought these songs were for somebody else. And the first week, I did not like it. But here's what begins to happen when we will choose to set our perspective on eternity. Eternity begins to fill us. And it begins to fill our mind, and it begins to fill our heart. And the more and the more and the more that I listened to Christian music, the more it filled my life. And you know what it did? It made me less irritable. It made me less agitated with things. It gave me more patience and a desire to be merciful and gracious, because that's what was filling my life in the car every day and at home. And I do it all the time now. I only listen to worship music in the car. I'm in the car a lot. I get to worship like hours every day, and I get to set my perspective on eternity. For you, it might not be music. It might be something else. But for all of us, we need to find what it is we can tune our heart and our mind to. Whatever the frequency is that communicates God's love for us and our life for Him, we need to dial into that thing and just pursue it day in and day out. And that's my hope for you, that we would have a fresh perspective personally, relationally, and eternally, so that we could say yes to the fullness of God, to the peace of God, to the life of God moving in us and through us, so that we could see the fullness of His kingdom coming more and more every day. Let's stand together. What we're going to do now is we're going to just have an opportunity to respond to God's word and God's presence here. And if you're part of ministry teams, if you can just begin to make your way up to the front, there will be people available to pray with you. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to provide a couple encouragements, maybe some things that God's doing. But if I don't say something specifically about where God is working in your life, you know, I would just say everything is fair game for prayer today. And this is just a way we respond to God's invitation of love. You know, maybe for some of you here today, you have never given your life to Jesus. You've never began to live in Christ Jesus. You've never just surrendered your whole life and tried relationship with Jesus. You know, if that makes any sense, you just, for the first time, you just know that there is a God and He loves you. And, you know, then I would just encourage you here in just a moment after I pray over all of us, you could come get prayer. For some of you, joy, just, you have not been able to experience a very joyful life. You know, I would just encourage you to come and just let them pray over you that God would bring more joy, that God would break off a lack of joy and He would fill you with joy as you live in the Lord. You know, maybe some of you are here with relationships and marriage has just been strained. It's difficult. It is challenging. Maybe today's a day just to receive greater consideration for one another and peace in your marriage. Maybe it's a family relationship and you just want to reach for forgiveness like you've never reached for forgiveness before. It just starts in your heart. We'd love to pray with you that you would experience God's just mercy and God's forgiveness come, that you could reach out to that family member. The last invitation that I just think is so available for us is peace. You would love for more peace in your life. I just think today is a day to say yes to the present God, the God of peace who wants to guard your heart and guard your mind and fill you with more of His presence. Just think if any of those make sense to you, there is no better place to just come and receive encouragement and further love of God than getting prayer. I was getting prayer from our prayer ministry team 2 weeks ago. It's a great place to just come and experience God's love in a tangible way. And after I pray for you, we're going to have an opportunity to continue to worship and just continue to let God continue to move and meet you. And so I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, that you would just continue to say yes to God's perspective for you. And after I pray, just feel free to come receive prayer. So Lord, we thank You so much for Your goodness. God, I just pray for the community here that You would fill them with more of Your joy, that this would be a community marked by the joy of the Lord, and that we would really reach for always, that You would just come and fill their relationships. You would just sow more of Your consideration and Your love and Your grace in their relationships and in their marriages, And that you would just begin to give them eyes to see the things that are worthy of praise in people. God, that you would give them a perspective that at work they can begin to just encourage coworkers because they begin to see what is worthy of praise in them. And God, for everybody here, we just say, come with your peace. May the peace of God fill them and guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. And may you give us the courage to say yes to you. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done. So I bless you with the peace of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.